Well, two missionaries were on their bicycles riding through the dusty roads of Africa when they accidentally rode right into a tribe of cannibals. And the one cannibal turned to his friend and, looking at the two missionaries on their bicycle, said, "Look what just arrived. Meals on wheels." Well, in today's gospel, we have Our Lady who went on her own missionary journey. Our Lady went to visit her cousin, St. Elizabeth, and this was a difficult journey of about 90 miles all the way from Nazareth up in the north down to the place called Ankarim. Ankarim is in the hill country of Judea, only about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. So it was a very long, arduous journey. But it says Our Lady went in haste to visit her elderly cousin, St. Elizabeth, because the angel Gabriel had told her that your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. So immediately it says Our Lady went in haste to go take care of her, to be with her, to help her through the last 3 months of her pregnancy, and to help her to give birth to her son, who would, of course, be John the Baptist. Look at Our Lady's qualities in today's feast, the fourth Sunday of Advent. As you know, last week we heard John the Baptist tell us how to prepare for the Lord. Today we have our Blessed Mother, by her example, telling us how to prepare our hearts for the Lord. The first thing Our Lady did was she did not think about herself. Even though she had just conceived the God of the universe in her womb, at the moment of the Annunciation, Mary did not sit back and say, "Hey, I'm the mother of God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to lie back on these cushions, have people feed me grapes." The Blessed Mother did not do that. Our Lady was the humble servant of the Lord. And so when she heard that Elizabeth was expecting, especially Elizabeth who was advanced in age, Our Lady wanted to show charity and love of neighbor and service. So it says she went in haste into the hill country. Again, about a 90-mile journey would have taken maybe 5-6 days. Joseph, I'm sure, would have gone with her. It was not safe for a woman to travel alone. And so Joseph, I'm sure, took her to this place called Ankarim. I've had the privilege of going there twice on pilgrimages to the Holy Land. There's a beautiful church built on that spot. We said Mass there, and it's over the house of Zechariah. And it's the birthplace of John the Baptist and the place where the meeting of the two mothers and the two unborn children took place. And it's such a beautiful church. Around on the outside in the gardens is the Magnificat, is in about 100 different languages, and you could walk around the beautiful gardens. This is where this great event took place, the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth could have been 50, 60 years old. Blessed Mother, 15 or 16 years old, perhaps. John the Baptist was 6 months in Elizabeth's womb, and Jesus was about 6 days in Mary's womb. So what a beautiful thing to meditate. The elderly Elizabeth, the young Virgin Mary with child, only about a week having conceived the Word of God miraculously in her womb, and coming to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, it says, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Mary's voice brings such a blessing that the infant in her womb leaped for joy. I think that's so wonderful that the first person ever to recognize the Son of God was an unborn baby. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. John, of course, could not speak. He was still inside Elizabeth in her womb. But he had one way of speaking. We call it body language. And so he did a little Irish jig in his mother's womb, or I like to say a Yiddish jig, most likely. And he leapt for joy. The same word is used when King David leapt and danced before the Ark of the Covenant. Now we have Mary, the new Ark of the Covenant, coming into the presence of the great prophet John the Baptist, and he does what King David did when he had the Ark of the Covenant come into his presence. He leapt, he danced for joy, and was filled with the Holy Spirit. The church has always taught that this is where John the Baptist was cleansed of original sin, where he was sanctified. It fulfilled Gabriel prophesied to Zechariah that your son, that you and Elizabeth will conceive, will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And so the church has always believed that this is the moment when John was sanctified, when he was baptized spiritually in his mother's womb, where he was cleansed of original sin and filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, according to what Gabriel told Zechariah the father. So then Elizabeth, of course, is filled with the Holy Spirit herself, and now the Holy Spirit speaks through her, praising the Blessed Mother and praising Jesus. Blessed are you among women. Imagine that, out of all the billions of women that have ever lived or will ever live, Mary is the most blessed because she alone would hold the God of the universe in her womb. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So the fruit of Mary's womb is blessed. It's sacred. This is why we respect the sanctity of life from the moment of conception until natural death, that the fruit of the womb is a blessing. What a gift. Every human life is precious and sacred and is a gift. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. These words would find their way into the Hail Mary, which we say every day when we pray our rosary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. But then Elizabeth is overwhelmed that she's receiving a visit from this great Mother of the Lord. She says, "Who am I that the Mother of my Lord should come to me?" Wow, the insight that was given to her by the Holy Spirit, that Mary is carrying the Son of God in her womb. "Who am I that the Mother of God should come to me? For the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy." This unborn baby was filled with joy. This baby could experience joy in the womb. And notice, how did the blessing come to Elizabeth? It was through the voice of Mary, showing that Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. She is the channel, which means she is the channel of graces, because Mary gave the world Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of grace. Mary is called the channel of graces. And so Mary's voice brought great joy to John and to Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth concludes by saying, "Blessed are you, Mary, who believed." Mary's the woman of faith. She believed that when the angel said, "Your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant," Mary went in haste. She did not doubt the words of the angel. When the angel told her that if she says yes, that God would become incarnate in her womb without a human father, that it would be a miraculous overshadowing by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary believed. Mary said yes. And it was the angel Gabriel that told Mary these things, and Mary believed. Remember, though, Zechariah in the temple had been told by the same angel Gabriel that he and his elderly barren wife Elizabeth would conceive a son in their old age, and Zechariah doubted. That's why he was struck deaf and mute for the next 9 months until the birth of John the Baptist. I'm sure there was a blessing there for Elizabeth. She could never be interrupted for the next. She could speak all she wanted, and Zechariah could never interrupt her. So there are blessings that come with these things. So notice, she says, "Blessed are you who believed." Unlike my deaf and dumb husband over here, I'm not pointing to Deacon Jeff on purpose or anything. "Blessed are you who believed," unlike my husband, "that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." So this is the last Sunday of Advent. We'll begin, of course, Christmas Eve is tomorrow. And the church always wants us to think about Mary on the fourth Sunday of Advent. And I think what we should especially take from today's gospel is Mary's love of neighbor, her charity, her humble service, her willingness to not think about herself, but to think about others. So we could ask ourselves, how can we love one another? How can we love our neighbor? How can we serve one another? How can you serve your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your parish? What can we do to serve others?